Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Fiscal Recovery Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You trying to collect the 50 bucks I owe you?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
No, I'm talking today about the recovery of General Motors.
Oh, yes.
Now, as you know, GM went into bankruptcy, but they recently filed to hold an IPO. That's an initial public offering. Mm. To raise working capital and to start life as a brand new company.
What are they going to call the new company? Honda?
Not a bad idea. No. It'll still be GM, but my concern is with trying to raise money through an IPO.
Yeah.
I mean, the stock market is a risky way to do this, and I couldn't help wondering whether there might be other ways for GM to raise the money it needs, to compete.
For instance?
Oh, well, I do have a few ideas to
suggest. Oh, I'm sure you do. I thought you might.
For instance, they could start up those annual Saturn picnics again. Remember those?
Sure.
But this time, cash bar only.
That'd help, yeah.
Well, here's another idea. They could sell T-shirts to the general public that say, I bailed out GM and all I got was a lousy Chevy Avail.
I like it. It's
pretty good, huh?
Keep going.
Here's a sure winner.
Yeah.
I mean, if GM needs to raise money, this one's a slam dunk. When salesmen take people out on test drives, have them simultaneously deliver pizzas.
It's like a Domino's GM merger. That's a great idea, Frank.
Now,
that's good.
Now, here's one they haven't thought of, obviously. They could rent out their unsold oversized SUVs as extended stay studio apartments. Don't you think Escalator States has a nice ring to it?
Or always wanted to live in the suburbs? How about living in a suburban?
And here's one more idea that's sure to raise at least as much as any IPO, I can imagine. You know all those former engineers they had working on Saab?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they could lease them out to help people assemble their IKEA furniture.
You do need engineers for that.
Yes, you do.
There's no question about it.
Well, look, if you have a question or a suggestion about an IPO or anything, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Danielle from Novato, California.
Danielle.
Hi, Danielle, you're not anywhere near where those gas pipes blew up, are you?
It's actually about an hour south of me. A lot of friends that I have live nearby there. It was pretty scary.
No, I'm sure it was. Anyway, what can we do for you, Danielle?
So I drive a CRV, and I'm a new mother of a six-week-old little boy. And I actually have an ethical or moral debate for you guys.
Are you going to debate us, or are we going to debate each other, or what? Well, we'll see.
Well, it's a question that I've been trying to determine where I stand on.
Yeah, okay.
Does my six-week-old son, who is pretty much attached to my body, count as the second person in the carpool lane during commute hours?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
It's a person, isn't it?
My friend looks it up on the Highway Patrol website, and it has to be somebody who takes up a seat and uses a seat belt.
Oh, but your child does take a seat.
Yeah.
And does use a seatbelt.
Yeah, but the spirit of the law is more it's supposed to remove traffic from the roads for commuters. So where I get stuck is that I'm not really removing any traffic.
Oh, because I understand, because this person they would expect would otherwise be driving.
Exactly, whereas my six-week-old son will not be driving.
Yeah. Your son's not going to be driving for at least 3 more years.
So. Can we go for four?
Four? All right, we'll give you four. No, I understand. So you want to use the carpool lane. Well, think about it this way. Here's how I'd rationalize it. Because you're allowed to use the carpool lane, you are going to be able to travel faster, and you won't be sitting in traffic as such, and you will be saving gasoline. You'll be reducing your carbon footprint.
Yeah, and who's going to question it?
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
If they question it, you say, what are you talking about? It's another person. Beat it, pal.
Well, the one person who told me that it wasn't morally okay
was
my
policeman.
Best friend, who is a police officer.
Yeah. No, not morally. We're going to get a lot of mail on the website from this. I mean, I suspect.
We're not going to read the mail.
No.
We're just throw it all away like we do with all the other mail.
it, I guess it's not morally. I mean, if you were now, if you look at it this way, if you're taking up the spot of some other would-be carpool person, and as such slowing all of them down, you could look at it that way.
Nah.
The addition of your car with your six-week-old son in the carpool lane is making it more difficult for those people to travel at a speed that would enable them to maximize their mileage.
Yeah.
So, in other words, I should drive, but I should make sure that I speed.
No, I didn't say that.
Just kidding. Yeah. I know.
I'm just wondering, what happens if the next person who calls is a guy who saw a little kid in the car and it screwed everything up?
We would agree with him.
We would agree with him and say, call the police and get her out of there.
So here's another question then. Are you not allowed to have a person in that seat that doesn't drive? What if you had somebody that had his license suspended?
Yeah.
Or what if it was your 85-year-old grandmother?
Yeah.
What if it was my brother?
Yeah.
You don't let him drive anymore. So there are lots of people who wouldn't even get a second look.
Yeah.
So would you be then, if you had your 14-year-old kid in the car, would you then be prohibited from using the high-speed lane?
That's where I get stuck. But what if I'm driving my 14-year-old or his friend, and they both go to the same school, so I'm taking that friend's mother off the road?
Right. You know, I'm with you, Danielle. I think you should be driving a bunch of kids to school.
Then that's it.
Yeah, I think you're good. In my book, you're right on the edge. It's a gray area, and I understand that, but I think you have more in your favor than not.
Yeah, well, and I know it's legal. It's just the moral question.
I think even on moral grounds. And which way were you leaning, by the way?
My husband and I, we were leaning in the, well, if the baby's screaming and we need to get him home for something, or if, you know, we're really feeling like it's urgent, then yeah, but otherwise maybe not. But that was all before he was born.
Yeah, you're too good a person, Danielle. You and your husband is too. You should get a couple of inflatable dolls and throw them in there too. Good luck.
Okay.
But I think you can drive in the carpool lane with your child. I think it's okay in my book.
Well, if I get pulled over, I'll let them know you guys said that.
Have Arnold call us.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. It'll be interesting to see what kind of debate this creates, because I'm sure there will be some kind of...
Because if we have got a call right now from someone with the other position, we would agree with him or her.
Of course we would. We can't disagree with our callers. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Robin calling from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We may want to quiz you about the previous caller, but...
Fine.
You think she's okay?
To my way of thinking, yes, because the baby is a human being. He's a person, so he would qualify. He does take up a seat. So.
Yeah.
Although he's not another driver that would otherwise be in his own car.
But, you know, it's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. So as long as her conscience doesn't get the better of her for the next 15 and a half or 16 years, she's
exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right, very good. Okay,
thanks for calling.
Let's move on to your issue.
Oh.
I have a 2006 Ford Freestyle.
Uh-huh.
And when I brake, if I'm just driving, you know, at about 30 miles an hour, and I brake, the steering wheel shimmies just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm driving faster and I have to brake more suddenly, the steering wheel really shimmies, and you have to hold it really hard. It almost feels like a helicopter rotor. It feels like you're going to, you know, kind of take off.
So the steering wheel is actually moving left and right, left and right, left and right.
Right.
And left.
No, left.
And left.
Correct.
Both. That is correct.
And so at 30 miles an hour, is the frequency like boop, 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 and at 60 is it...
Yes, it doesn't make noise, but it does shake quite hard.
Yeah. How many miles do you have on this thing?
About 93,000.
93,000. Well, I mean, at first blush, it seems like you have a warped disc rotor. And there's no question that if it is a warped disc rotor, it's in the front. And that's why it's affecting your steering. But you could just as easily, with 93,000 miles on it, have a bad tie rod end.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When you are experienced the shaking of the wheel, do you also ever feel any pulsation in the brake pedal?
Not that I recall.
Not that you recall. Well, then no. You could test this a little bit the next time you drive it. Because the next time you drive it should be right to the repair shop. But as you drive it to the repair shop, when you get up to 30 or 40 miles an hour, step on the brake pedal and see if that brake pedal's pulsing. I'm going to guess it isn't.
Okay.
And if it isn't, then you've got a bad tie rod in for sure, or a worn ball joint, and it's really dangerous.
Okay.
Don't you guys have regular inspections in D.C.?
Sure, absolutely.
And when, pray tell, was the last one that you went to? And did you pay the guy off?
Yes, I did. Yes, I bought him lunch.
There you go.
He was a cheap date.
Oh, yeah.
You have to get your car inspected. Oh, I'm going to embarrass myself. I think every 2 years.
Okay. Oh, so maybe so it hasn't been done for 22 months or something.
Right.
Yeah, you got to get this checked immediately.
I would not fool around.
If that tie rod end is making it vibrate even at low speed like that, it's getting ready to break.
What is a tie rod end?
The tie rod is the piece that basically, as its name implies, ties the two wheels together.
Okay.
And between the tie rod ends is the rack and pinion. So when you turn the steering wheel left and right, the rack and pinion moves either left or right, and the tie rod ends are the pieces that are at the extremity of this whole contraption, right at the wheels. So if the one on the right side, for example, were to break, then that right front wheel could pretty much go wherever it wanted to. It would no longer be attached to the steering gear.
And they do break.
And they just fall right out.
Oh,
okay, so if that one were to break, you'd be hard-pressed to control where the vehicle went by steering it with only the left front wheel.
That would not be good, because have you ever driven in D.C. on the Beltway?
Yeah.
It's like Demolition Derby.
Well, there you go. You'd fit right in.
Yeah, I'd fit right in, exactly.
No, have someone look at it right away.
Okay, and is that an expensive repair?
What's expensive? Over $1,000?
No, it's if you had to do the...
It's a few hundred.
Yeah, exactly, a few hundred bucks.
Okay.
Okay.
Not that it matters. I mean, I would have to have it fixed anyway, because I need my car every day for work. I'm an RN, and I...
Yeah. Well, it's good you're RN. You can apply the tourniquet to yourself.
Yes, exactly. I can apply the tourniquet to myself when I need it.
See ya, Robert.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is James Hester from Pavo, Georgia.
Hey, James from Pavo?
Yes, sir.
I don't know where that is in Georgia, but I take your word for it that it exists.
Okay.
How do you spell Pavo?
P-A-V-O.
That's what so exactly the way I had it spelled.
Pavo.
Pavo. And what what's the derivation of Pavo, Georgia?
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Were they paving the streets when they came up with this, or what?
It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me. Anyway, what's going on, brother?
I've got a 2001 Dodge pickup, half ton.
Uh-huh.
The dashboard is splitting just in several spots all the way across.
Oh, I see. It's the splits are going parallel to the windshield, or perpendicular?
Parallel.
Parallel. So long, big, long splits.
Big, long split.
Right.
Oh, boy. And it's an 01.
It's 01.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to be able to get any satisfaction from the manufacturer, because it's too old. What do you do with this pickup truck?
It's just used mostly around the farm area, garden and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So you're a gentleman farmer?
Well, I'm the farmer. I don't know about the first part.
So you want to know, well, there's one remedy is to replace the dashboard.
That's what I'm needing to know.
The other thing is to forget about the whole thing.
I would.
What does he care?
I don't know. I think I would have it upholstered.
Paint it.
Well, I mean, there are probably lots of things.
Maybe the paint could fill in the cracks.
Well, the Pavo, Georgia gave me an idea. There is this stuff. Is the dashboard black?
It's black, yes.
Oh,
so
good.
You can go and get driveway crack filler.
Yeah.
So you could fill it up with that. I mean, I filled cracks in my driveway that have been 2 inches across. What's the biggest crack you have?
It's about a half to three-quarter inch wide.
What's your concern here? Is it aesthetics?
Well, mostly is it going to cause problems as far as stuff falling down in it and maybe getting into the electronics, or...
Well, there's significant padding underneath that, so it's probably not easy to get. Can you see, when you look into those cracks... What can you see? Can you see, like, the radio?
No, sir.
You can't see anything?
No. Uh-uh.
So you could fill those cracks, and here's what I'm going to suggest you fill them with, and it's probably the cheapest solution, is silicone, RTV adhesive.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you can buy a big honking tube with that stuff and put it in your caulking gun, and you can buy it in black. Now, most of the blacks I've seen are not flat black, which your dashboard is. But I think it would be kind of interesting to go maybe, oh, with a contrasting color.
Oh. Now you're getting all
like,
crazy.
I see an opportunity to do like tiger stripes here, right? Maybe some orange PVC. I think you should find the opportunity here, James, to do something creative.
You might as well.
I mean, replacing the dashboard is expensive.
And oh,
if
yeah.
And if you're not worried about how it's going to look, believe me, it's going to look pretty bad when you're done. I would try patching it up with that RTV stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And then you could go over it if you wanted to with contact paper.
Now you're getting really crazy.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Good luck, James.
All right. Thank you, sir.
If you do something like this, we would love
to see it.
To have you send us a photograph.
Hey, I'll do it. Sure will.
All right. Thanks.
Great.
Thank you so much, sir.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All right. Look, before we go on, I have to help my brother remember last week's puzzler.
I could use the help, man.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hint.
Yeah.
This is a fill in the blank.
Again, yeah.
You went all the way through high school without ever getting a blank.
A D. I never got a D.
Yeah, just Fs. Actually, I was looking for date.
A date.
You never got a date.
I never got a date. That's true.
Even when you volunteered to wear the paper bag.
I did. I even volunteered to let her wear a bag in case mine fell off.
Well, the puzzler was about dates.
Dates.
But not those kinds of dates. Dates of the calendar. And I'll be back with the answer in a minute. Service your engine if you want it to function. And even though parents scream at their teenage kids, will you turn that darn music up whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And I neglected to mention who sent this in last week.
You're covering your tracks?
No. This is right on the... this is Max. I sent it by Max Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he's from, someplace out in the internet
world.
Not
Lord Chamberlain, is it?
No. But
I went to high school with a guy named Lord Chamberlain.
You did? You really did? Anyway, here it is. And I thought it was pretty cute, and that's why I used it. Imagine you have in front of you two cardboard cubes and a magic marker. And what you'd like to do is use the cubes to represent the date. For example, if today were the 3rd of the month, one cube would have a 0 and the other one a 3. If it were the 12th, one cube would have a 1 and the other a 2. You got it?
I got it.
So your job here is to write on the cubes. Okay, now each cube has 6 sides, so you have 12 faces altogether. Okay?
Yeah.
I guess it's a two-part question. Is it possible to represent every day of the month from the 1st to the 31st using just these two cubes? And how is it possible?
Yeah.
And I think I gave the hint, think outside the box.
I got it. I'm drawing my two cubes here right now.
And you don't need to draw them as cubes. You need to rather draw them as just squares.
6 faces.
Okay, you got 12 faces
altogether. I got 12 faces altogether.
So we agree that one cube has to have a 0, a 1, and a 2. And the other cube has to have a 0, a 1, and a 2.
Yes, it does.
And one of the cubes has to have a 3.
One of them has to have a 3, but the other one does not.
Does not, okay, because there's no 33rd of the month.
So we're going to put the 3 on cube number 1.
Okay, so cube number 1 has 0, 1, 2, 3, and cube number 2 has 0, 1, 2. Now, here's the problem. That is how many faces altogether? That's 7 faces used up.
7 faces.
And then we have to put a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7, an 8, and a 9, and that's 6 more faces. But we only have 5 faces left.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We only have 5 left, and we need 6.
We need 6. Can it be done?
Yes.
Well, yes, it can.
Yes,
be done.
It can.
Because you don't need both a 6 and a 9.
Because cubes work both ways.
Because
upside down.
You flip the 6 and it becomes a 9 and vice versa. And so you can eliminate one of those.
Where are you going to put them, though?
Well,
does it matter?
Doesn't matter. You put them.
Well, sure, it matters.
It does matter.
Sure, it matters.
Yeah, but the rest that's the easy part. the hard part was figuring out that you could use a 6 for a 9 and vice versa, that you could in fact get all the numbers you needed on 12 faces and not worry about having both a 6 and a 9.
Sure.
Right? Do we have a winner?
And you don't want the high numbers on the one that doesn't have the 3, right?
Right.
Because there are no 36th of the month.
Right. Right.
Okay. Now I get it.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Is in fact, one of them is going to have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 5, and the other has 0, 1, 2, 6, 7, and 8.
Ah.
Okay.
You're happy? It is. And the winner. Yes, we have a winner. The winner is Durward Thompson from Corpus Christi, Texas. And for having his answer selected at random from both of the answers that we got, Durward. He's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a set of CarTalk reusable grocery bags.
Yeah, I mean, instead of advertising the name of your supermarket on your reusable shopping bags, why not advertise that you have terrible taste in public radio programs?
Why not? Actually, it's not that bad.
No, on one side of the bag, in big letters, it says, my other reusable bag is from a good NPR show.
Well, that set of CarTalk reusable shopping bags can be yours, if you want them, for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Now, if you didn't win today, don't fret. We have a new Puzzler still to come. But first, we have some car questions to answer. Are you ready, Tommy?
Ready? Of course not.
What else is new? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Grace from Los Angeles.
Hey, Grace.
Grace, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I was calling because I have a fantastic car. I love it. It's a 2007 Bullitt Mustang. It's a ton of fun to drive around.
Yeah.
The thing is, the clutch on this car is so heavy that if I drive it for more than like 30 minutes, my foot is killing me.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy, you mean it's hard to push it down.
It's really hard. And I sprained my ankle a few days ago. And I've been taking the bus around town because it hurts so bad to drive my car.
Yeah, you're gonna get this disease called monstrous leftus calphus. And there's no cure for it, but you're gonna walk with a limp after that because your left calf is gonna be twice the size of the other one. And this is a very heavy duty clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a heavy duty clutch because you have a heavy duty car with a very powerful engine.
Yeah.
And if you had a wimpy little clutch like you found in a Corolla, you'd burn that thing up in a weekend.
So there's really nothing that you can do to make it be a little bit more drivable?
Well, how many miles are on this thing?
Less than 20,000.
And it's been like this since day one.
It's been like this since day one. I didn't notice it as much at first because I was excited to drive it. And then it just became something that sort of
First traffic jam you got caught in must have been a nightmare.
It's been horrible.
Oh, yeah. So this is maybe an indelicate question to ask, but how much do you weigh, Grace? I mean, is there a chance that we could pump you up here? Because the only remedy I see here is to get you to be very strong, at least from the waist down.
I'm an athlete. I run triathlons.
Oh.
But it's not my little leg. It's my foot. It's the flesh underneath my toes.
Oh, so you need to wear platform shoes.
Yeah, right.
I think I may have told the very story on this show about this customer we had named Heavy Duty. And the reason we nicknamed him Heavy Duty was because every piece he wanted installed in his car had to be Heavy Duty. If it was the muffler we were putting in.
Oh, put in the Heavy Duty one.
The Heavy Duty one. We're putting in a new water pump. I don't want the regular cheap junk. I want a Heavy Duty water pump. And when it came time to replace his clutch, he wanted, for sure, a Heavy Duty clutch. And we installed it, and it was just like your clutch. It was a bear to step on. But, hey, I wasn't going to drive it. So off he goes. He's very excited. He's got a, what, heavy-duty clutch. And I think Tommy had said to him, look, come back after a month because we have to readjust the clutch, make sure everything's okay, and so you don't burn it out. And when he did come back, he was about 4 inches taller. And I said to him, Anthony, I said, did you grow since you... And I looked down, and he says, the clutch is killing my feet. And he was wearing those big, thick platform shoes.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
I think he must have gotten them from some go-go dancer. I don't know where he got these things. But they were beauties. It's the only way I can drive the thing. And I said, look, for $400, we'll take that thing out. He said, no, I'm keeping it. So that's what you need, Grace.
I'll get myself some platforms.
You need some platforms.
Okay.
And you're going to get plantar fasciitis, you know, if you don't have it already. You know what that is, right? Every runner gets it.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Oh, you may have it already.
Well, thank you so much for your help. I'm sorry to hear that it's just my lady legs.
Yeah, no, it isn't. But if you have plantar fasciitis, then it may be that you don't need the platform shoes. You just maybe need an operation. But in any case, buy an automatic next time.
I will. All right. Thank
see,
you.
See you, Grace. Bye-bye. Bye. See the trouble we get ourselves in?
Yeah.
It's like our sister bought a house some years ago. In the springtime when the flowers were in bloom and the birds were chirping. Mm. And she didn't notice that the driveway was like a 35-degree angle to get from the street to the garage.
Yeah.
And when the first winter snows came and she slipped and slid all over the place and couldn't, she said, where did this come from? But you miss things.
Yeah.
She's like all your wives, never really bothered to look, peel down, drill down, as they say. Much below the surface. You can bamboozle people pretty easily. Yeah. And Grace got bamboozled when she bought this car. She fell in love with the look of the car, the power, and all that, and didn't realize that clutch was going to be a nightmare.
Every winter I
just
got,
like
the,
your
I
wives,
got divorced.
Like your wives, and figured that you were going to be a nightmare.
Everything was fine in the summer.
Right.
Winter comes.
Well, because you weren't around in the summer. 888-CAR-TALK.
Oh, well.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Josh. I'm calling from Presque Isle, Maine. How are you?
Good, Josh. How are you?
Presque Isle, Maine.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those places when we see the weather forecast, they say, oh, those poor guys in Presque Isle, Maine, they're going to wear three pairs of long underwear tonight. So what's happening?
Well, I've got a problem with the car.
Yeah.
It's making an empty rattling sound. I'm pretty sure it's coming from the back. It sounds like, you know, when you put a penny in a Coke can, like a rattle, rattle, rattle.
Uh-huh.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a 2005 Toyota RAV4.
Okay.
And the rattle happens, it doesn't increase when you increase in speed, but it stops immediately as soon as you hit on the brakes.
Ah. So empty rattling sound. That's the noise you get when we shake my brother's head. If you just touch the brakes lightly, the noise will go away because it sounds like you have a loose pad.
Okay.
Either that or the caliper slide mechanism is worn out. You know, your calipers slide on these, basically, these two shafts.
Okay.
When those get worn out and you drive over bumps, you'll get...
Yeah.
And then as soon as you step on the brake pedal, and push the pads up against the disc, that noise will go away. Now, it could be something even simpler. There are little anti-rattle springs, which could have broken.
Is this something I could fix on my own, or maybe go to someone who has knowledge of this?
Well, that's no fun.
Before putting my family in danger.
Well, are you relatively handy?
No, absolutely not.
All right. That's good. Okay, we'll cross you off the list. Yeah, no, you know, if you've done stuff before, and especially if you've worked on a friend's brakes before, then you might be qualified to at least look at this.
But if you've never done it, you're not going
to
do it.
That's why whenever possible, if you have an opportunity to volunteer to be the assistant
on someone else's car,
someone else's brake job especially, you want to seize that opportunity, Josh.
Yeah, and then don't take a ride with him.
Right, and say, good luck. And then call after a few days or make sure you check the obituaries to see if everything is all right. And then you will gain not only knowledge but courage. And then you have to do this a couple of times before you feel confident to tackle your own brake job.
So I can lose a few friends first.
But I think so. But first time out of the gate, I'd be reluctant to endanger my family. Yeah. So you can take it someplace and suggest to them that maybe it's a broken piece of brake hardware, anti-rattle clip or whatever, or maybe the slides are worn out.
Okay.
All right, and that's going to fix it.
All right, it's not dangerous at all, though.
The brakes, who knows?
Yeah, and the car is old enough to need anything. You know, it's 5 years old.
Yeah.
And any time you have a noise with the brakes, it should be treated as if it's dangerous.
Okay.
Good luck, man.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Is it fall? when the parts in your car change color and fall off?
No, not yet. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if he or she took our advice.
And if they're ready to accept an out-of-court settlement. So who's our contestant this week?
It's Jennifer from Lock Buoy, Colorado. You remember Jennifer?
No.
Do you remember Colorado?
Barely.
Well, Jennifer called us a few weeks ago after her husband revealed his true nature.
Somebody left a big, long scratch up down the entire passenger side of my 2008 Ford Explorer.
Oh.
And the scratch ends in this big white paint smudge. So I went home and I told my husband about it, and he said, well, nobody ever leaves notes. Yeah, so what can you do? It's just human nature. About 2 weeks ago, I was a passenger in his car while he's driving. I noticed that his driver's side mirror is exactly the height required to produce the scratch. and the paint color that somebody left on my car happens to be his paint color.
Get out!
Oh, what a coincidence.
And he didn't leave you a note?
Well, I immediately confronted him about it.
Yeah?
You know, he admitted to it. But he said it wasn't his fault.
What do you mean it wasn't his fault?
He says that both cars are in my name, so really it's like me hitting myself, so I should be mad at myself.
Oh, no.
He's a lawyer, this guy, isn't he?
Well, he should be. No, his name is Dave, and we said Dave needs to apologize not only for scratching her car, but for being a complete weasel about it.
Yeah.
And then he should take it upon himself, to get it fixed.
Yeah, of course.
And we suggested that humiliating him right here on NPR might help things along a little bit.
And we were happy to help with that.
Yes, we were. Well, let's see how the happy couple is doing. Jennifer, are you there?
Yeah.
Huh.
All right, look, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, have we?
No.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the medieval husband rack that we sent you.
No, not at all.
So did the nationwide humiliation work, Jennifer?
Yes.
Hey! Great.
Thank goodness.
Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, there's not that many Jennifers in Lock Buoy, Colorado. and so everybody knows that it's me. Everybody knows that it's him. The public humiliation has worked splendidly.
Really?
He has not gotten the scratch fixed. However, whenever somebody brings up the show, which is often, I get my car washed.
By him. So you've now accepted the scratch is going to be permanent?
Well, yeah, but I think it's a better situation than if he got the scratch fixed.
Because that would put him on equal footing with you again. Right,
yeah.
Now, he's still suffering the humiliation. When he comes into the house, does he pull his pants way up, right up under his armpits? And does he
and look down at the floor?
Does he look down at the floor and say, yes, dear? Because once you get him doing that, you got it made.
Well, he's a lot more careful backing out of the driveway.
Well, I'm glad to know that he's come around. I think he'll have come around completely when he fixes your car. And then he continues to wash and wax it for another year.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's suggest that to him. That it's time to fix the car and to make sure that he continues to be a good boy. And we're going to keep an eye on him, tell him.
Okay.
We have our operatives in Colorado.
Okay. Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
See you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right, look, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have more of your car questions.
And what else?
Well, if we're lucky, some vaguely plausible answers.
That'll be good.
We'll also have a new puzzler, which is from my currency events.
Oh, I see. Currency.
No, not current, but currency events series.
All right.
Yeah, you like that? So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
Got a brand new Mustang GT. Looks like it was made just for me. Sitting in the driveway, nowhere to go. I can't pay for gas no more. Stuck and stranded, feeling kind of blue. Real frustrated,
NPR's marching band forms a huge SOS at the 50-yard line whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
As I mentioned earlier, this is from my Currency Events series.
Oh.
Yeah, not current events, but Currency Events.
Oh.
This was sent in by a fellow named Milton Mersinger. And you ready? Pay attention.
Yeah.
The other day, I was third in line at my neighborhood convenience store waiting to pay for my things. The number one person in line bought something that cost $3.75. She handed the clerk a $5 bill and received a dollar and a quarter in change, right? Customer number two bought two items that totaled $4.99. He paid with a $10 bill, and he received a $5 bill and 1 cent in change, 501, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Got it, yeah.
Finally, it was my turn. I placed my items on the counter, you know, the usual, you know, hair nets, a copy of the National Enquirer.
Hair nets?
Yeah, and an extra large tube of soothing hemorrhoid relief gel. And my total was $17.95.
Yeah.
And I paid cash as well. I handed over a $20 bill. The cashier started to hand me my change and then stopped and asked if it was okay if she gave me a $2 bill and a nickel instead of two ones and a nickel, because my change was going to be $2.05. Would I mind? I said, not at all. In fact, I was hoping to get one, that is, a $2 bill, that is, with my change. It was then that I explained what was unique about the $2.05 that I received as change, and what was unique about the change that the other two people in front of me received as well.
Huh?
So I received $2.05 as change.
Yeah.
Right? And the people in front of me received $5.01. And what did the other one get? A dollar and a quarter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So one person got a dollar and a quarter, the other person got $5.01, and I got my $2 bill and a nickel.
And a nickel.
And what was unique about the change that each of us received? Now, if you think you know the answer.
Wow.
You think you know. You ready? If you think you know the answer, write it on a Tungsten WSC 5144 carbon fiber biometric wallet with unbreakable carbon fiber casing, secure locking system with fingerprint access, Bluetooth iPhone pairing for lost or stolen wallet alerts, RFID blocking to prevent unauthorized scanning, and built-in audible alarm, and send it along with a copy of How to Get Your Paranoia Under Control to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
That's right. And if you have a question for us, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jesse from Sudbury, Mass.
Jesse, how you doing? Sudbury.
Sudbury.
I think I know this. We went picking apples there once.
Yeah, that's probably right. And I used to be from Our Fair City, so I, you know, I feel like I practically know you guys.
Yeah, you may.
We practically know you.
What's up?
So I've got this problem with my VW Golf where it doesn't want to start on cold mornings.
How old is it?
It's 7 years old, mm-hmm. And it's been great up to this point. This is the first problem that I've had with it that nobody seems to be able to fix. Mm. Although my wife managed to come up with a solution for it, which is I have to go out in the morning when it's cold, and if it doesn't start, I blow dry it and heat and warm it up, and it starts right up.
Like a hair dryer.
Yeah, hair dryer.
Yeah.
So I'm finally got it to a mechanic who says he thinks it's the ECU, and I found out where the ECU is located, and I'm kind of aiming it on that.
Oh, the ECU in this thing is right in front of the windshield.
Yeah, and for 2 minutes, I just stand there blow-drying my car, uh-huh. And it works beautifully, and it runs fine all day. It's just that first start on a cold morning.
So what happens if you go to work and the boss says, geez, can you work a few hours overtime? No.
Right. No. Right. That's exactly what I'm worried about. I don't have a hairdryer at work.
Well, you can take the ECU apart.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Because what's wrong is you've got one lousy solder joint in there.
Yeah.
And by heating it up, you're creating continuity. And when the thing is cold,
uh-huh.
right, there's enough distance there so that you have an open circuit.
Yeah.
And it's probably not firing off your injectors, or who knows what's going on.
So you think if I opened it up and just looked at the circuit board, I would be able to identify what?
No, you'd have no idea what's going on. but you might, and it's easy enough to open up.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what's the worst case scenario? That you can't fix it.
Yeah.
And you buy a new one for what? Is it $850?
Yeah, it's like it's $900. Right, exactly.
Oh, you don't go to work that day.
Or that year.
Actually, that sounded pretty good.
Yeah,
well, there are lots of places that repair these. So if you didn't mind being without your car for a week or so,
yeah.
you could take the thing. They'll know exactly what solder joint to look for.
So what about, does it make sense to buy a used one?
What, a hair dryer?
Sketchy?
It wouldn't hurt to buy a used one, but I bet you'll have trouble finding one.
Mm.
Have you looked?
I looked, and the thing is, it's $80. I found one. I mean, there's a couple.
For a used one?
Yeah.
Oh, buy a few of them.
But it makes me paranoid because this is a $900 part, and, you know, I'm buying it from some random guy online for $80. It seems like, I don't know, is it the right thing?
You can't pass up that opportunity. And the numbers match up because it's very specific.
Yeah, I mean, that, as far as I can tell, it's the right one.
Oh, I'd buy an $80 one in a heartbeat.
But, I mean, is it just going to come to – is it like a brain transplant for the car, right? Is it just going to come to life and –
Oh, yeah. Oh, it'll be like Frankenstein, man.
but this is exactly what I'm worried about with the buying it online thing, is that it's going to be like young Frankenstein. And you know how he goes and gets the brain and it's marked Abby Normal?
Oh, yeah.
How do I know what kind of car he's pulling this thing out of?
No, it's going to be a perfect match. If it's the same number, you're going to plug it in and it's going to have the same parameters that your car has.
Okay.
As long as it's exactly the same number.
Okay, and it's worth trying it myself.
Oh, to put it in? Yeah. When you get the new one in your hand, you'll see how easily the old one comes out. It's just a plug-in.
Okay.
It's real simple.
All right.
Good luck, Jesse.
Thanks.
And we'll be watching. We'll be able to see the explosion from Cambridge.
All right.
See you later, man.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Don calling from Zachary, Louisiana.
Hi, Don. Where the heck is Zachary, Louisiana?
That's about 10 miles outside of the city of Baton Rouge, which is the capital, and about 100 miles outside of New Orleans.
Yeah. Now, and we're homed in on you now, Don.
Yeah.
We know where you are in case we have to take legal action against you.
So do it.
What's happening, brother?
I have an 86 Toyota Supra, and whenever I crank it up in the morning, it's making this sound for about 55 seconds. It's horrible. My sister won't allow me to come by our house in the vehicle, so I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Then my wife wants me to sell the thing to make room for my truck. I need your help desperately.
Oh, so the only time it makes the sound is when you start it up and the engine is cold, so to speak. After you've driven it for 55 seconds or run the engine, the sound is gone?
No, if I touch the brakes after it clears up, it makes that same hissing peak sound again.
Really?
And what if you stop someplace and you shut off the engine, and then you start it up again? Does it do the same thing again?
It does the same thing again.
Ah.
And at night, if I turn the headlights on, it does the same thing.
Oh, you have those pop-up headlights.
Right,
and those are vacuum operated. So you have a vacuum leak someplace because you are using the engine's vacuum. The vacuum is created by the pistons moving down in the cylinder and sucking in air for combustion. It uses that same vacuum that's created to run the power brakes. And your power brake booster is letting some of that vacuum escape wouldn't be the right word, but it's letting air in, right? So it's causing that whistling sound, the screeching sound. So you're going to find this yourself. You're going to find this with a piece of hose.
Okay.
And stick one end of it in your ear.
And then stick the other end in the other ear, and you can hear the Atlantic Ocean.
This is going to be fun.
Now, with one, if you stick one end in your ear, right, you will take the free end in your hand with the engine running and it making the hissing, squealing noise. Take that hose and start at the vacuum booster and work your way toward the engine. That is the source of the vacuum. You may find, I'm guessing, some kind of a junction block where a bunch of vacuum hoses connect. I'm guessing you're going to find that junction block is broken. Or there's a hose off someplace, but I'm guessing you're going to find it's broken, and that's the source of the whistling sound.
That's it.
And you can. There are many ways you can fix this thing up. You can try to buy a new one, which is going to be impossible because your car's 125 years old. But you can probably fix it with super glue or something like that. But that's what it is. You have a major vacuum leak.
Major vacuum leak. Okay. I have over 200,000 miles on it too. So
now the vacuum leak could be in the booster.
Okay.
But you're going to find it. Trust me. It's either at one end of that hose or the other. Either it's at the end where it connects to the booster, in which case it's the booster that's bad, or the valve that the booster, the hose connects to. There's a check valve right there. It could be broken.
Okay.
Or it's going to be at the other end where it connects to the manifold. And it's going to be hard to find because this engine is a disaster to work on.
I'll be able to visit my sister again, right?
Yeah. You could just park about 10 blocks away and tell her you hitchhiked when you go to visit her.
Then on your way there, start looking for a new car.
Thank you. I sure will.
Good luck, Don.
Thank you so much.
All righty, buddy. All right. Take care.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Laura from Concord, California.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
My husband and I have a Jeep Wrangler Unlimited. It's big, it's burly, and I'm 5'2". And it's the only car we have. And I want a second car, and my budget is about $4,000, and I just want something for kind of tooling around town. And so I used to walk by this mechanic shop on my way into work all the time and talk to them about their cars. And if I would mention like an MG or a Fiat or an Alfa Romeo, they'd all cringe, but that's kind of what I want.
You do, eh?
Yeah. So I guess my question is, with that $4,000 budget, is that a bad idea, or can I go for one of those types of cars? And if so, what should I look for, and what should I avoid?
It couldn't be a worse idea.
And I can tell you that I have owned every one of the cars that you like.
I'll buy one off you.
No, you don't want to buy any of his cars.
No. Mine are not for sale.
No, the only one interested in this car is the junk man. So, but I get the sense, Laura, that you want a car that suits your size.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ah. You're tired of having to climb up into this Wrangler Unlimited, and you feel vulnerable driving this thing, or do you feel that your size is disproportionate to the vehicle, that you shouldn't be seen behind the wheel?
I think people probably can't see me behind the wheel, but I like driving it. It's just it's work. Like, I feel like it's a workout, and I've always had little zippy cars that I can tool around in, and I kind of want one of those again.
Oh, what was your previous zippy car before you entered into this unfortunate union here? No, let's...
I used to have a Honda S2000.
Oh.
I loved it.
Perfect.
Well, yeah.
You could certainly get another one of those, or you could get
certainly
yourself...
no Fiat, I'll tell you that.
Well,
I could see you driving, because it doesn't snow where you are. You don't have to have those kinds of concerns. I could see you driving a little Mazda Miata.
No, I can't do it. I can't do that.
Why?
It doesn't have the grr, the sexiness that I'm looking for.
Oh, uh-huh. Really?
It just doesn't have the right personality for me.
Well, you know, my brother has this exactly the same take, and he's gone from driving an MG and a Triumph and a Fiat, and all of these cars have appealed to some sense of his that he should be driving something that's closer to the earth.
Yes.
You know, that's and by that I think he means closer to the junkyard. that I've tried to convince him, say, you know, you could really drive a Miata, and you could have almost everything the Fiat has, maybe not quite the styling, But you could certainly have the convertible top, maybe even one that doesn't leak.
Yeah.
You could have windshield wipers that worked and a heater that worked, et cetera, et cetera. You could have all those things and still enjoy the wonder of driving a convertible, and he won't do it.
No, I won't.
And he's afraid that imminent danger of a breakdown, having been taken away, will deny him of the pleasure of driving the car. He needs to know that at any second the car could catch fire or something awful could happen. And I think maybe that's what you need, too.
Well, let me point out to you, Laura, that Fiat is selling cars here. So you could actually go to, I get this, a Fiat dealer.
Well, not yet, but hopefully.
Pretty soon.
Well, I don't know, Laura. You're going to have to do what you think is best. But if the Miata is not for you, then I can't help you. You'll have to, you know, go with whatever Tommy says. buy something ill-advised like a Fiat.
Well, if there wasn't a budget involved, I would probably go with, like, I really like, you're going to cringe at this too, but I love a Jag XKE. Or if it was going to be a new car, I would just go back with another Honda S2000. But, you know, I really just want this for, like, driving to the train station, going to the grocery store.
So why don't you try to find a used Honda? Like the one you had. Maybe yours is still available.
But for $4,000?
Sure.
I don't know. You think?
I think.
I haven't looked. Yeah, I haven't looked.
I think you need to look, and you'll find one, and maybe you'll settle for Miata. but you need to look. But if you're not happy driving the Wrangler, then go and find yourself a Honda.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See you, Laura.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I certainly have.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Punjab, corn cob, roast squab, broccoli rob, lamb kebab, bread swab, watch it slob, lunch mob, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. My brother's home health aide from the Rome office is Anita DePenza. His beard cleaner is a meal in itself. Our company stockbroker is Richard Daniel Everby. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working weather support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the PhD tarot card readers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1039, meander through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a report from the front lines.
Yes, our own neuroscience researcher and distracted driving blogger David Strayer is just back from the nation's capital, where he attended the big distracted driving summit. And he filed a first-hand report, which you can see right now at cartalk.com.
Is there big news?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was halfway through reading his report when I went through a red light, and I had to look up the roof for a while. Anyway, I'll read the rest on my drive home.
Ah, good idea.
The latest on efforts to curb distracted driving and where they may be falling short, find it now at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though stray comets decide to crash into a more desirable planet whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.